That's right. I mean, Corso told me basically the same story that he said he saw. He saw at Fort Riley, Kansas, and of course he'd heard from other people, and what he heard from the medical examiners at Walter Reed Army Hospital, who said they had one of the bodies that they were performing an autopsy on. So, I mean, but this confirms Frankie Rowe, who talked about this metallic cloth that she squeezed and popped out. It confirms Jesse Marcel Sr., who was actually there. Imagine how humiliated he was to be sitting at a table, know the truth, and then have to sit and wait for 30 years, and finally he just couldn't hold it anymore, and he told the truth, and he interviewed with Stanton. It confirms Jesse Marcel Jr., who you're going to talk to this week, and who had to carry this story knowing the truth for all those years after his father went public, and actually he saw the same I-beam that Walter Hout is talking about in the memo, and of course in the affidavit, and of course it confirms Walter Hout and confirms all the witnesses. Alpha Boyd's father, who was standing by the corner of Hangar 84, we have the story in an old issue of UFO magazine, The Children of Roswell. Alpha Boyd's father was standing by. He went out for a smoke outside Hangar 84. Suddenly, they brought this alien on a stretcher. This creature looks at Alpha Boyd's father, communicates that it's dying, and they rush it into the hangar, and then officers that Boyd's father had never seen before rough him up, they brace him, and it took a captain from who knew him to yank him out of that mess and say, look, this guy's a straight-up guy. He's not going to talk. I mean, it confirms George Wilcox, his wife Inez Wilcox, and the diary she wrote describing when Brazel brought this material into the jail.
The description by Hout also is exactly like those little aliens right at the end of Close Encounters of the Third Kind, when they kind of took the American astronauts, I guess, or travelers, into the craft. You know how they all fluttered around them?
They took Richard Dreyfuss by the hand and they walked him into the craft. Indeed, it also confirms, I'll tell you, this is a dead-on confirmation of Lieutenant Colonel Black Mac Magruder, Marion Magruder, the Marine pilot, who was part of the National Air War College class of 1948, who in July 1947 went to Wright Field, by the way, with his class because the Army had not yet made a decision about what to do, and he saw the live alien. We have this in a back issue as well. He saw the live alien, and he describes it exactly the way Walter Hout describes it and exactly the way Alpha Boyd's father described it. Three eyewitnesses describing the same creature.
Without the affidavit, it would still be a gangbuster story, Bill, but with it, it just adds so much to the credibility. Take some final calls here. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
How you doing?
Good.
I'm being from Augusta, Georgia.
Hi.
My mom was born in 47 on July 7th, and she passed away last year on July 8th. That was just kind of a weird situation. I drive a tow truck on the weekends, and I picked up a guy, and he said he was from California. He was in the service. I picked him up, and as we was going down the road, he said he'd never been to Georgia, but he wanted to go to this local fort that we have and be dropped off there. And then we got to talking about different things, and my mom was in the car, and she brought up the situation of an alien, you know, alien encounters that she's, you know, seen or had, and she never really come public with them. Well, he just started rattling off about Operation Green Light, Blue Light, Operation, I don't know what it was, what he was talking about, and it scared us so bad we actually pulled over, called 911, the police came, he had some warrants out of California.
He never
got his pickup truck. Never heard from him. I don't even know what. It scared us to death. And I didn't even. We never even told anybody about it. We just said that the truck was impounded and it's sitting in the storage lot for years and years.
That's a strange story. I don't know about that. I mean, did he. He didn't threaten you or anything. It was just his story that scared you.
No, he rattled off and he started talking so fast and almost in a different language. And he said something about microchips inside. They put this inside. And he said he's never been to Georgia, but he wanted to go to Fort Gordon. He wanted to see a certain colonel. He wanted to go now. And just, you know, I don't know. It really scares, you know.
Bill, what do you think?
It just tells you, look, if you know about UFOs, don't talk about them to strangers, because you're going to wind up in the
asylum. They'll take you away, or jail. West of the Rockies, you're on with us. Hi there.
Hello. Hi. Hey, guys, great show. Very interesting. I've always been very interested in the UFO phenomenon since I was a young kid. But I read my favorite authors in the field, John Keel and Jacques Vallée.
Sure.
And these guys eventually come to the conclusion that the UFO assumption that it's extraterrestrial may be an assumption, and it may be something that this phenomenon wants people to think it is, and it may not be what it is supposed to. You know, it may be like a Trojan horse, as John Keel calls it, Jacques Vallée calls them the cosmic jokers. That affidavit is unbelievable. That's amazing.
Oh, absolutely. And Jacques Vallée, if I recall, Bill, from reading a lot of the work that UFO Magazine has published about the individual, basically he believes in messengers of deception. He believes that what's happening now are dimensional beings or entities. Am I correct?
Yes, that's exactly right. He believes that we're not talking about people from a different star system per se, but actually from a different dimension. And one of the things that Vallée said to Peter Sturrock, who chaired the Rockefeller Commission on the study of UFOs, was that UFOs were so prevalent around our planet that astronomers would actually get angry at the UFOs in the way between them and the star they were looking at.
What we don't know about the situation at Roswell is whether these were extraterrestrial, whether they came from a hollow Earth, whether they came from another dimension. We don't know this, right?
We don't. The only clue that I had was from this naval officer. He was from the Office of Naval Intelligence, ONI, called George Hoover. We've talked about him before, who said that he was the Corso of the Navy, and that the military believed, and he said he knew, that these entities were not so much interplanetary, but they were literally time travelers. And the big secret is that they were us from the future, and that we and they had the same powers, and that was the real fear of the government, that we had the ability to manipulate reality around us. We've always had that ability. We just didn't know how to use it. And if we ever learned how to use it and we're not ready for it, we would cause chaos. And that was the big secret that the Navy eventually found out.
Bill Burns, one incredible story, one that we've been waiting for a long time. And maybe, just maybe, Bill, this will be the beginning of more disclosure. What do you think?
If I were Peter Gersten, Stephen Bassett, Stephen Greer, if I were they, I would be at this moment in time getting my FOIA letters ready, because here's a legal document, an affidavit, that you could drop on the desk of the Air Force Chief of Staff and say, the records are there, here's an affidavit from one of your officers, this describes
explain
the truth,
yep.
Disclose the record.
You got it. Bill, thanks so much. Bill Burns, publisher of UFO Magazine. I'm George Norrie, and Coast to Coast continues in a moment.